This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Pit Pass Radio, America's weekly motorcycle talk show.
I got me a date with some of the motocrossers up around the way.
Your source for weekly updates on what's happening in the world of motorcycle racing.
You know how fast you're going?
Industry news, trends, the people involved.
I'm Ricky Carmichael.
This is Kevin Schwartz.
This is Josh Teemeth.
This is Kelly Smith.
This is Travis Latrell.
This is Jeremy McGrath.
And now, Pit Pass Radio.
And you know, part of our deal with Racer X, we always tell you, check out their website. Grab up a subscription. You might get a free t-shirt or a calendar or something. Bottle opener. I got the coolest bottle opener in Pittsburgh at the NCAAs. You know, I was there announcing the NCAAs this last week, right? And one of our sponsors, Barbarian Apparel, has this incredible flat. Looks like about the size of a credit card. And it has a bottle opener on it. Perfect timing for me.
Since you don't drink beer. Well, you could maybe have some root beer.
Well, he said that. He
maybe
said,
a good sarsaparilla or something.
It'll open up a root beer bottle.
But, it's like a credit card thing you put in your wallet, and it's got a... What
else
can
no
you do?
Knife on it.
Can
there's
you
no
like...
Knife.
But could you like maybe...
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Maybe... No, I'm not doing the wrap thing.
Okay, sorry.
Could you like maybe file it down on the concrete floor and maybe like make a shiv out of it
sure,
or something?
Sure, I could cut somebody.
That'd
you
be
bet.
Sick, bro. You,
a piece of metal that thin anyway, you should be able to arc it through the air and cut somebody's jugular. Let's give it a shot. I got it out in the car. I'll go get it. And Jack, you want to participate in the experiment?
No.
Oh, okay then.
Go to the rough side of Des Moines later and see what's up. Maybe we go to the east side.
No, I will be going home after this.
All right. Well.
By the way, congratulations to my mother-in-law, who is now 97. She's going to be inducted in the East High Hall of Fame. And they did her interview earlier this week. And what an outstanding job she did with the Q&A and the memories and all that kind of stuff. So should be a bundle of fun on the 10th of next month as we have, I think it's a luncheon. And it'd be a neat way to kind of salute her and her many years of service to Des Moines Public Schools.
She was a teacher or what?
No, she was the one that makes the school go. She was the...
Lunch lady?
For me, it was, yeah. No, for her, she was the secretary. Yeah. By the way, my goal in life is to be able to make cinnamon rolls and regular rolls as tall as the lunch ladies did. I have no idea how they did it.
You're the strangest. I said this off air many times. You're probably my strangest friend.
I am.
You're a weirdo.
Well, I know. I've got it all written down,
and you don't use your front brake enough, nearly enough.
Well, no. I have literally started to use my front brake more than my back brake ever.
70% says it right on the motorcycle license test. 70% of your braking, and a guy like Brandon Robinson, maybe not so much.
Brandon, how much do you ride that front brake? Do you use the front? Do you ever use the back brake? And if not, why?
TTs.
Oh man, dude, I use a back brake all the time.
Thank
She's
you.
Glowing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Brandon Robinson, our guest in this particular portion of the program, brought to you in part by Hicklin Power Sports and Wiseco. Wiseco, if they're not at a dealer near you, ask them. Say, hey, what's up? And maybe they'll even carry Wiseco products or be able to order it for you. Competing in American Flat Track Twins is our guest. Brandon, how's that working out for you?
Man, it's been a pretty good start to the season for me, honestly. You know, I'm not notoriously known as a good TT rider, and I snuck out of Daytona with an eighth place, which I was pretty happy with overall. And then, this past weekend in Atlanta, we were able to rip off the win at the short track. And, man, couldn't start the year off any better, switching teams and having a win already early in the season.
So a podium is a pretty big deal, I think, and for anybody, you know, just that early in the season to kind of sets the tone for you and probably a little bit of a motivator for you for the next round, so you're probably excited to go racing.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I get to sit on this win for about 4 weeks, so that's pretty cool. You know, it's always good when you get a little bit of a break, and you're the, you know, like as I say, you're only as good as your last race, so I'm going to be the guy, you know, that won the last race for 4 weeks, so I get to sit on that confidence high and take that into Texas, and I'm pretty excited, man. It's been a crazy little journey in the last year for me, you know, with our last 2 years, I guess, you know, being with the Factory Harley team and having some struggles there the last couple of years, and then taking the risk and walking away from that program to do a privateer deal on the Indian platform. And you know, I'm just excited that it's all kind of played out in my favor and it's all turning out for the better.
If you said, I'm going to win one race this year, would it have been Atlanta?
Probably not, but I'll take it.
There's a whole bunch left, right?
Exactly. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty good overall on all the oval tracks, so I feel like I got a shot at 13 more.
So there was a time when Mies, I thought, would it looked like Jared was going to run away with it, from you and the rest of the field. It took you some time to reel him back in, but what was there, about 5-6 laps left? You went to work on him. Talk about that, I guess. I mean, we all know Jared Mies too, and we respect him. For you though, as one of his peers, one of his competitors, you know, how do you go to work on a guy like that? And what to kind of take us through the six laps that you did it?
Man, yeah, Jared is without a doubt the toughest competitor in flat track. Man, that guy is always on top of it. He's always trying to figure out ways to go faster. And anytime you think he's kind of out of it, he just figures it out, and he's always right there in the front in the main event. So you can never count him out, and he always gets really, really good starts, and that's like his number one saving grace. You know, he's a great racer, but the starts are phenomenal. He gets out front, gets a clear track all the time, and able to put in good, consistent laps. And yeah, I was just kind of chasing him there. I got in the second, you know, fairly early in the race, and was able to work on, you know, grind it out and run him down a little bit, and I knew about halfway through I had something for him. I had a shot to win, and I just wanted to buy my time. I didn't want to make my move too early because I knew how smart Jared is. You know, if I pass him, I show him my line too early in the race, he can have enough time to figure it out and counter move on me. So I just sat there. I waited for the five lap of the board to go, and I saw him making a little bit of mistakes in one and two, and as soon as I saw one more, I just pounced. And I got around the outside, and I just put my head down. I just tried to stay as consistent and smooth as possible, and thankfully, he wasn't able to mount another charge, and I was able to cross the checkered flag with the win.
So when you say you saw him make a little mistake, is it something that we would have seen when I wasn't there at Atlanta, but something we could have seen in the stands maybe, or is it something like just, you know, because you get out of the groove or whatever just a little bit sometimes, and it's hard to recognize as a fan, but as a racer, you can, you know, you're looking down the line, you got that 1,000-yard stare or whatever it is, and you can – you know what I mean? You know when he's going to break or when he's going to chop the gas and pitch it in or whatever. What mistake did he make specifically?
For me, I mean, it wasn't a crazy big mistake. It was more or less just, you just tell his bike and him, he was starting to get a little bit loose getting into the corners, especially in the middle of one and two. He was just breaking loose a little sideways, not rolling very good. And, man, that's where my strength was all day. I was just rolling the center of the corners really, really good, and Gary able to keep the momentum rolling through the corners. And as soon as I saw him starting to struggle, I knew that was right my place to pounce on him. And he just, like I said, he made a little bobble, just broke loose a little bit more than he might have had any other time in the race, and it just killed his drive, and I was able to roll right around him. So, you know, just kind of little things that I see when I'm behind someone chasing them that I put in a plan of motion to try to pass somebody.
We're talking with Brandon Robinson, who's celebrating a win at the Atlanta Short Track here recently. In this series, the last year has been Indian. I mean, they've been so dominant. You're racing one. Jared Mies obviously is on one. The winner of the Daytona TT, Breyer, he was on one. Are we going to see anything besides an Indian win a race this year? I mean, even Henry Wiles is racing one. And so I'd say, hey, Peoria, there you go. We're going to see a Cowie win. But now he's on an Indian. So are we going to see anything besides an Indian win?
I think on the miles you might see, you know, Smith on the Cowie and Yamahas like J.D. Beach and Jake Johnson potentially being up front. But, man, those Indians are so good. There's a reason they've been winning everything. You know, those purpose-built motorcycles, dude. As soon as I hopped on one here this winter, after my contract was up, I'm like, man, no wonder I've been getting my ass kicked the last couple of years. So, man, they are phenomenal bikes, man. They are really, really good. And it's like riding the next R on steroids, man. They just work so good to put the power to the ground. And and they accelerate like a Jap bike. So it's kind of got the best of both worlds.
And it was a perfect storm for Harley to lose. They come with a brand new platform. They brought a knife to a gunfight, right? The XR, I think, would have done better than what they had.
Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, but Harley was committed with running a new platform, and, you know, I commend them for that, you know. They've done a lot of work to get them things to where they're at, and, you know, obviously I think they're getting a little bit better yet still. You know, Vandercooy, he's had a couple fourth places to start the season, so it's cool to see them. You know, the sport needs Harley to do well as well, so... for me, man, I was at a point where I'm getting kind of old. So,
how old are you?
Yeah, I'm closer. I'm 28 now. So,
wow, that's just ancient. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
you getting the AARP card yet?
I got a couple in the mail. Yeah,
about Social Security on that yet?
I'm trying. They won't give it to me yet.
Yeah, good luck.
Speaking of old, when you say you're 28.
Mm-hmm.
You tell a guy like Chris Carr you're 28 and you're getting old and see what the...
He'll still kick your butt.
Well, I don't know about on the track, but maybe in the pits. He's pretty short, though.
Well,
Chris is pretty short. I don't know.
You take a few jabs and then run quickly.
You got a good foot and a half on him, I think, Brandon.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Texas half mile?
Chris is like 4'8".
He is pretty short.
Very tiny.
He is pretty short, man.
You got to see his shoes.
We're going to work with him later this year, Scott. In Downport.
Oh, is he coming?
Yeah. He's going to be wear the hat, the Grand Poobah.
Nice.
And give him little feather.
Is our guest going to show up in Downport?
I doubt it, but we're going to see him in Springfield the next day, aren't we? Or two days after. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Texas, half mile, you looking forward to it?
Yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, I got this momentum from Atlanta rolling into it. And actually, Texas was the place I did my best last year on the XG, so... I'm looking forward to going there with the Indian and then seeing what we can whip out on the night.
It looks like we go to Arizona. I know you go to Paris, which is actually Paris, California, Southern California, and then Sacramento. And then we're going to do the mile number one, Springfield, which is over Memorial Day weekend. And then Lexington, Kentucky, the Red Mile. I've been there. Great track. Are you a fan? You like the red dirt?
Yeah, man. I've had some pretty good results there the last 2 years, and the track's pretty unique and cool, and the area is awesome, dude. It's like the horse country there is beautiful, so I'm looking forward to going back there for sure.
They still build Toyotas there?
Not that I know.
Maybe you'll win a
Toyota. I think they're building Toyotas everywhere now.
Yeah, they did. They used to build them in Lexington, Kentucky. I remember we went there. So all these events I'm talking about, is there any that you just go, man, I don't think we should be racing there, or I wish I didn't have to go race that one?
Man, if I said I didn't wish I had to go to one, it'd probably be that Arizona TT. That seems kind of wild. There's a lot of jumps in it, some big stuff, and a lot of unknowns. You know, I don't know what's going to happen there, so that's kind of one I'm not overly looking forward to, but I don't know. We're all racers. We all got the same track, so I got to go there and suck it up, you know, and do my job.
That's in Chandler, right?
I believe so, yeah. Right outside Phoenix.
Yep. The Wild Horse something or other park. You're not the only guy to talk about that one, that they maybe take early. Maybe that's why Law Tigers is the title sponsor of that one. Maybe So you're equipment, obviously you've got to be stoked on it, riding the Indian. It seems to be working for you. So the bike that when you originally threw your leg over that bike, and the bike that you won on this past race in Atlanta on the 23rd this past weekend, how much different is it? I mean, is it pretty much...
Well, it's not bone stock.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean like how much setup has there been gone into it for Brandon Robinson versus what Jared's racing or whatever?
Honestly, not too much. You know, from the first time I rode it, we've made pretty similar or pretty significant changes, like small ones, really. You know, the suspension's actually the same stuff that I started on. You know, obviously, we got it done for myself going into it, but... you know, realistically, we haven't changed forks or shocks or nothing. I mean, we played a little bit around with, you know, eccentrics and moving the front end out and back and, you know, giving some more swing arm angle and stuff, but just little things, you know. it's crazy how good those bikes work. The biggest thing for me was just getting comfortable on it, not being used to what that bike was going to do underneath me and trusting what the bike was going to do. And I haven't had a bike underneath me in the last couple of years that I go to the corner, I'm like thinking, oh man, I can still go in harder. You know, it's kind of one of those deals. So trying to find those limits and boundaries, that's the biggest challenge for me right now.
So it's just power to the ground. The thing, obviously, the chassis, terrific, tons of power. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm pretty excited for you, Brandon. I'm glad to see you get a win. Is there anything new going on other than the motorcycle? Is there anything else? Is there more to the story for you as far as maybe your training, maybe your personal life that you want to share that's been a positive for your racing program?
And honestly, everything's pretty much been the same. I've actually been I've been in a camp for the last 3 months in Florida training. So kind of old school route, you know, flat track style, living out of a van and living out of a camper. You know, I don't have that fancy, glamorous factory life anymore, so I'm kind of low-budgeted things this year. But
it comes and goes.
Cool. I'm just getting back to the basics, man. And I guess that makes me hungry, makes me want it more. I don't want to have a real job. So.
You train with Johnny, or who are you doing? Who are you hanging out with in Florida?
The last couple of months, I've been down here with Jared Vandercoy and Corey Texter, and we've had the Bauman brothers are both there. There as well, and just a bunch of people coming up, like Rispoli.
We're hanging out with Johnny Rock Page. I don't know if you knew that.
Ah, nah.
Yeah, dude rocks.
No, we're not. Yeah. No, we're not. Do you know who Johnny Rock Page is?
Oh, I know exactly who he is.
He's a legend, dude.
He is a legend.
Remember that time he ran for president?
Yep.
And then he got caught stealing like a money machine or something.
No, that's not true at all. Scott, what's the deal with him and Paris Hilton?
I don't know. Paris is kind of falling off the radar, isn't she? She's considering changing her name from Paris Hilton to Paris Hyatt. It's just another hotel change.
That's
you see
a
what
stupid
I did there?
Joke.
Yeah, works for me.
All right, Brandon, who do you want to thank for helping you go racing?
Man, this year, obviously, Jerry Kennedy, first and foremost, Kennedy Racing, crew chief Brent Armbruster, and the Armbruster family, and then just all of our smaller sponsors like Rye Helmet, Motion Pro, Saddleman, Full Spectrum, Evans Coolant. Man, there's so many people. Kicker Radio, so many people that just help us out.
What does Kicker Radio do for you?
Man, that just helps us in badass stereos.
Yeah.
All kinds of goodies.
So your bike has got a stereo on it and multiple speakers
course,
and stuff?
Everything does.
Nice.
Makes real. Makes real motorcycle noises, doesn't it? Got the Sprinter van just rocking, don't you?
Ooh-wee.
Always. They're bumping going down the road. Dude.
Bumping. Did you hear what he did there, Tony?
You know what? You've got it figured out when you've got your 4-year-old in the back of your Sprinter van,
yeah,
and you're on your way to the races,
yeah,
and you're listening to the Elmo song or whatever, and you can hear the subs kind of going. That's when I get a little bit of a smile. I'm like, that's right.
What about the shark song?
We went. So I had to drop a bike off yesterday. A guy working on it for me because I hate working on motorcycles. And it's a town that's like 30 minutes away. And my buddies, like this couple that I took my chick and my kid and this couple, like they wanted to take us out to dinner. I'm like, well, how about we go to over this other town? I got to drop a bike off. So we take the Sprinter van because it fits everybody. And I got the bike in the back. And I played that Baby Shark song.
Yeah,
I kind of like it. I've not worn out of it yet. Charlotte, my daughter, loves it.
Susan,
dude, you
can sing that song.
I about got thrown out of the van while I was driving for playing that song. Everybody hates that song, I guess.
Well, there are several stars on the YouTube that are singing it to their kids. They apparently like it.
I bet they don't still. Is.
My God, Leanne is actually doing the shark thing. All right, here's the deal, Brandon. This is now your song, your official song. Every time you're on the show, you're
lucky.
That's my new walkout song.
Your new walkout song. Yeah. All right, buddy boy. Hey, have a good one. Thanks for joining us, and appreciate you playing along. Okay.
No worries, guys. Appreciate you having me on again.
You betcha, man. Brandon Robinson And no relation to the Swiss family Robinson, apparently.
You don't know that. You didn't ask him.
Is he gone? Is nice. Brandon gone? Jack, can you bring him back up real quick? Oh, sure. Brandon, are you any relation to the Swiss family Robinson?
There's a good possibility.
Hmm.
See?
Okay.
Got the same last name, man. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll look up that.
But they're Swiss, right? They're Swiss.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be from Swiss. I don't know, dude.
You like Swiss cheese?
Yeah, I do.
Back after this. Stay tuned.
This is Jason Conlon, pro supermoto racer, and you're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.